Good to have you on. How you doing today, buddy?
Is Dave going over for the wrestling?
No, I am.
Oh,
no.
Okay. So's my grandson, Scout. He's going over.
He'll have a good time.
You guys ought to hook up.
We will definitely. My wife is coming with me, Tracy.
Well, my daughter's coming with my 7-year-old grandson, but they're in the front row.
Yeah, that's where I'll be there as well.
Oh, well, look for him.
I will do that. Hopefully he remembers me from the tailgate show the other day.
He was a little bit worried about getting on that slide. I don't think he was paying too much attention to you or me. He did like the candy ball.
Hey, we're used to that. A lot of people don't pay attention to us.
Tracy, how impressed have you been with not only Clayton Kershaw's ability, and we know how good it is, but 4 times he's pitched in the last 10 days. I mean, you just don't see that nowadays. What does that say about him as a competitor?
Yeah, I mean, he's the ultimate competitor, but I think it also says something about his durability, and it comes back to, I mean, everybody wants to get into all these different things about all these limits to save your arm. It comes back to the fact that he has a very long stride in his delivery, so he can take the impact from that's created by when he throws a ball, and it transfers from his elbow and his shoulder to his lower body. That's why guys didn't have all these Tommy John surgeries when they had 15-inch mounds. But you watch him, you watch Bumgarner, they have very long strides, almost like the Japanese pitchers. And that takes a lot of that off, and I think that's why he's durable enough to be able to do what he's done and has never had an arm problem. But, you know, you really, between starts, he went in and he pitched that relief appearance, but that was the same as doing a bullpen session, only with a little more effort, but the same basic thing. It wasn't like Bumgarner going out and pitching that 5 innings for a save two years ago.
I don't know about you. I've liked how Dave Roberts has managed, especially that game 5 with Washington when it was all hands on deck. He brought in Kenley Jansen in the 7th inning, which is something you don't really see. It seems like he knows how important some of these games are, and he's managing it to win these series and these important games. Like starting Kershaw last night, he knew how important it was to get a win in Chicago. And that, you know, that's what it seemed like to me anyways.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you watch the bullpen, I laughed at this. So someone on Twitter the other day says the managers are ignoring the old style and they're bringing the relief pitchers in the earlier innings. No. That's the old style. That obviously showed me whoever put that on Twitter isn't very old themselves, because that's the way it used to be. People, before they created this make-believe thing called a save, relief pitchers went out and pitched and got people out when they were supposed to. I still remember Whitey Herzog once. Doug Bird went up to him and said, "I don't really know my role." He goes, "Well, I'll tell you your role. Go down. When the game starts, you go down and you sit in the bullpen so I don't have to look at you. And then when I call down and say, get Birdie up, then you get up. And then when I go to the mound and wait, you come in. And when you get on the mound, your job is to get hitters out." That's as simple as it is. There's nothing else to it. But we've gotten into this world of specialization now, and we've decided that you can only throw so many pitches and you have to have so many days off, and starters can only go 6 innings. And so, you know, we create this kind of an entitlement mentality instead of having guys build up and be as strong and successful as they can be.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here in the Sports Zone. I want to go back to that game 5 as well. Why do you think Dusty Baker took Max Scherzer out of the game? Because it seemed like he still had good stuff. He threw the home run ball, but it didn't seem like it was a terrible pitch. Peterson just got a good swing on it.
It was a good pitch. He just went down and got it. I'm sorry,
Do you think Scherzer was done, or did Dusty Baker? I mean, what can you put your finger on that?
You know, I don't know what the discussion was in the dugout. You know, I don't. You know, a lot of times managers take hits for players. It's, you know, like the famous when Randy Johnson, who had pitched a complete game the day before, had to come in and get the last 5 outs of the win in Game 7 of the World Series because Schilling got pulled. Well, Schilling got pulled because he told Brindley he couldn't pitch anymore. And then after that, he wants to wear the red badge of courage the manager took me out. I can't argue with the manager. No, the manager took you out because you didn't want to pitch. You know, don't throw it all on the manager. And I think in that situation, Dusty, for whatever reason, maybe it was a discussion with Scherzer, or maybe it was a discussion with the pitching coach. But I have to trust him. He's watched the guy over the course of a full season to see the things that he can see and pick up and make the moves. I mean, you know, it's not like he was looking for a way to try to let the to lose the game. He was looking and seeing things that he felt needed to be done to win, and he was good enough a manager to get him to that point. And I think, you know, like Don Baylor used to say, when they were winning, you know, you asked him in 95, you know, how do you know when to take a pitcher out? He goes, when I want to get a bat. Anytime I see a pitcher and I want to get a bat, I know it's time to get him out of the game. There's an innate thing there. But, you know, I mean, it's even like last night, though, or two nights ago, everybody was second-guessing Davey Roberts over the Blanton thing. Well, Blanton's his best setup guy. And what he was doing is he was working that inning to make sure that he got Chapman out of the game. And he got Chapman out of the game. And Blanton had 0-2, and he hung a breaking ball. But let's face it, the guy's 2-for-11 lifetime off Blanton with two singles. It's not like he owned him by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, he got a good swing, he got a bad pitch, and he made contact. He hit it out of the ballpark. I mean, those things happen. That's why you play the game, that you can't sit there and make everything right. But I think up until that point, the feeling was if he brings the left-hander in, there's good right-handed bats on the bench that they wanted to see up there less than they wanted to have the matchup that was going to be there. So, you know, I don't get into second guessing after the incidents happen. I mean, I think there's questions that might raise at that time, but I have to give credit to the men that are getting paid a lot of money to manage the teams that they have an understanding of what's going on, and you know, believe it or not, they want to win more than the fan does.
Trace, let's go over and look at the other side now. Game 3 of the American League series tonight. After the way Toronto lost 2 in Cleveland and the way Cleveland took care of Boston, is there any way that Toronto can come back and win 4 out of 5 against Cleveland to salvage this thing? It seems like it's almost an impossible task at this point.
Well, it's going to be difficult, but, I think Kluber's only going to pitch one more time. The biggest thing is Toronto's just got to get going offensively. I mean, they can get into their ballpark. It's not out of question they can win 3 at their ballpark because it's a very hitter-friendly ballpark, and they're very much an offensive team. I think Tomlin kind of caught everybody off guard. Kluber, whatever Kluber does, nobody can say, gee, I'm surprised. But, you know, when the series started, you felt like that was the one solid starting pitcher that the Indians had. And really felt that the Blue Jays were going to have an advantage the rest of the way because of the lack of consistency from the rest of the rotation in Cleveland with the injuries they faced. So, I mean, I think that they've done a great job to get to where they are. But, no, I think it's not out of question that Toronto could win the next 3, and then they'd have to win 1 out of 2 when they go back to Cleveland.
Turning to the local team.
Oh, baby.
Post 6.
It's been almost a month since two, three weeks since the season was over for the Rockies. Not hearing much out of the Rocky camp. Are you hearing anything about a potential new manager? Who's in the hunt? Whose names have been mentioned? It just doesn't seem to be any new news coming out of there.
I mean, one of the things that Bradish has been very good about since he took over as general manager of the Rockies is not having information come out. You know, he doesn't want it to become a parade of anything. I mean, the two Lewicki trades probably the best example of that. But I mean, in this type of a situation, guys will say things that are interested in the job, and we know that Glenn Allen Hill very much wants it. Bo Porter has popped up as a candidate. He's confirmed that he's in the running for it. Buddy Black has interest in it. Ron Renicki would like the opportunity. Steve Buschel is another guy who has made overtures to see if there might be interest. And Don Wakamatsu, who managed in Seattle briefly, who's now with Kansas City. I mean, those are names that I've heard for sure. Brad Mills, who was the original AAA manager for the Rockies. Brad Mills is another guy.
Always good to catch up with you, Tracy, and keep up the good work. And this Cubs-Dodgers series is very intriguing to me now that the Dodgers got one at Wrigley. So I am not a Dodgers fan, but I am this series. So.
Well, you just hate the Cubs.
I do, yeah. Yes.
Are you headed to Reno this weekend?
Yes, sir, I am.
That'll be fun.
Good man.
I'm going to go see Coach Shiat on Friday night down in Denver, and I'll go to Reno and enjoy that. And I think that'll be fun. Gee, I wonder, CSU, are they going to be able to get over the cultural shock that the reality set in that, you know, Well, these teams that want to go to the Big 12, don't they realize that they had to bring more to the conference than the conference could do for them? This isn't the Obamaism welfare system where they just want to help people out. This is where you have to come in and carry your own weight. They're the fourth rated Mountain West Conference team on TV ratings in Denver. They think they're going to become a national sensation? Jeez.
Dozens of fans are distraught, Tracy. Yeah.
How much money, I wonder, did they waste, and how much energy and time did the president put in trying to get...
Well, how much money... Let me ask you this question.
How much money did they waste on a new stadium?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. You had Q's Stadium. Okay, it's 50 years old, but you could put enough money into that and renovate that. That's not a bad stadium. It's a beautiful setting. It's got plenty of parking. I mean, it's got a lot of stuff going for it. You just had to do a little work on it to fix it up a little bit. Instead of going and putting $250 million or whatever into a new stadium on campus where they're going to have almost no parking for the fans that want to come there.
I'm worried about the congestion out at Hughes Stadium.
The what?
Congestion.
Getting to a game, if you're there, is a pain in the neck. I mean,
what do you think it's going to be like?
It's going to be worse.
Driving
though.
Through Fort Collins on Saturday afternoon's a pain in the neck.
No, you're exactly
and
right.
And you'll be parking on the street 2 miles from the stadium.
But I also like it that they say it's going to have a 41,000 capacity, but they don't say 34,000 seats. That's counting 7,000 standing room only. And when you're in the 10th row of standing room only, do you think you'll come back again?
I don't know that they'll ever get to 34,000 butts in the regular seats if they're on campus.
But they did. They out of that $240 million that it cost them, they were able to get fundraising. They were able to get $20 million, although it's spread over 20 years for the naming rights to Sonny Lubick Field.
I was talking to some folks down in Fort Collins who know the inside on the finances and everything.
Yeah.
No way they will ever pay for this stadium out of it. They project, they'll increase the attendance by and they'll be... The problem is they already have a student activity fee. They're not going to add any money from the students. Even if the student attendance doubles, they won't add another dollar.
It's a huge student activity fee, too. It's not like Laramie's.
No. And the point of fact is that they have to, like, quadruple the general attendance for every game to be able to pay for it, and they don't have enough seats in the public side of the stadium to do it.
Well, their interest is only $7.8 million a year, and if they wanted to pay it off in 25 years, they've only got to come up with $17.9 million a year.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all. Always good to chat, Tracy.
The 12's not bailing them out.
No, they're
really?
Not.
Really? Did that just happen?
Yeah.
So. Thank you, Tracy.
They just announced it.
Yeah, I know.
All right, bye.
See you. Bye. Yeah.